May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. We're going to pray. And would you have any prayer requests for us or anyone from the congregation?
Continue to pray for Shirley and Connie.
Certainly. Shirley and Connie.
He's back home.
Uh-huh. Very good. Yep. Andy's uncle passed away, and he's fixing this evening to head to Ohio. He's going up to Versailles and plan to catch a ride to Ohio and ride back out. Pray for him and his bereaving family. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, dear Father, for the opportunity to gather again. Blessing it is to see the saints, see the children here gathered together to sing again. Lord, we thank you for taking care of us through sickness and blessing us with health and strength again. Pray for those who are still sniffling and coughing and all of that, Lord. Ask your healing and your protection against fierce diseases and all. Thank you for your mercy, your blessing, especially upon old folks who have special time with respiratory problems. We do pray for Shirley. Bless Connie taking care of her, Lord. Be near to them. Pray for Andy as he plans to travel, for his family, he's mourning the loss of their uncle and father and all of that. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. A little bit on timing. Let's stand up and sing the first verse again of Lead Me to Calvary, 138. And like to carefully watch my hand as we beat out the notes. We beat out especially at the ends there where we have a quarter rest. This morning as we were singing, we were jumping into the next line a little too quickly. This song gives us the music here written gives us another quarter rest there, where we just stop and think about a second, think about what we've just said and sang. Okay. If we have to go to another verse, we'll do another one. So, first verse. Who can give me the pitch here? Which pitch am I to blow? One of you younger ones want to go? Go for that. Can you recount the flats there? Sorry.
E.
E. Is that quite correct? She's got the right letter. Next, back next for E flat. Let's do E flat. Have to add the flat on there, so I look for E flat down here on my pitch mark. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget gifts and 141. I said I was going to beat out this those bird's eyes there, but I don't think we're going to do that. We're just going to do what feels right on those bird's eyes. Take thy cross and follow. Follow thee. Let's just imagine that the whole congregation here are old folks, all of them. Let's just gently and with inspiration sing it. See how it goes. Hold the pitch. Pitch.
F.
Remember, I always remember F flat. That wouldn't sound quite right. Just F. Okay.
I can hear my Savior.
Gospel singers singing it, and they just held that bird's eye out a little more than another beat. Just rest there a little bit. And that's one of the rules of a bird's eye. It's what the director says, how much to hold it out there. There's flexibility there in the bird's eye. Okay, maybe you had a selection to sing. Sing another couple of them here.
77.
Okay. I'm going to sing like young people now. Okay, the pitch.
D flat.
Very good.
Chanting
remember, louder doesn't always mean faster. If we can, you know, there are times that I try to slow us down in the congregation, and in our congregational singing, and I can tell that everyone wants to speed up. Just strong, yet with a good tempo. Maintain your tempo. Don't let loose of the reins. Next, back one of the last three rows.
64.
Let's do 64. Okay, bass, we're counting on you with those extra steps in. Quiet. Yep, that's good. Remember that. Remember that. Just, we want to hear our sisters sing.
First two stanzas of the. What about the chorus? Bass and chorus.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's what we're counting on for.
But the first two stanzas would be one and two, right?
Yeah, most. Okay, the most hymnals don't have the bass and tenor singing in the stanzas. Those are the stanzas. And then we have the refrain or the chorus. That's when we all sing.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry.
That's,
let's try it without on the first verse. You men all be quiet. And whose voices are young yet. Clayton there, you can help with the soprano. How's that? Oh, with it, yeah. Well, we're not going to make you sing a solo. But don't sing so low we can't hear you. Okay, let's try that on the first verse. And then the second verse, we'll have the tenor come in. The bass, you just be quiet. We'll have the tenor come in the second. I want to see how that goes. Okay, that was what's the pitch again?
F.
Very good.
And
trying not to beller out so that you don't have a man's voice messing you up.
I think the girls have a real nasal, it's not carrying out, it's a nasal sound. There's a way, and you just have to figure out how to do it to practice, to open your diaphragm so your voices go out instead of singing like Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
The girls need to have a, it's sound instead of a, open your mouth and learn how to breathe with your diaphragm open and sing. There's things you can do to practice opening your diaphragm. But the girls have a real nasal.
Your larynx is sitting there going like this as you change your pitch. And you need to just think about that. Put your hand down at your neck if you can, just to think about that. You need to just relax it and let it go like that. Don't do it. I remember my brother, we taped ourselves and we decided no more taping. It sounds terrible. And I remember my brother singing. We laughed about it for years after that, hearing ourselves sing, four of us. We thought we had a quartet going in there, and we were gonna tape ourselves, and we listened. All you could hear is the nose. I listened to Willie Nelson this morning singing. Yeah, he's got it. So, just relax. Let it come out. And that comes with practice. I'm glad that they mentioned that.
Well, it's kind of fun sometimes. What I do is, when I'm by myself, just try singing with your voice kind of closed in the back of your throat, and then try singing with your voice as wide open as you can, your throat right here, right above your thumb diaphragm, and just hear the difference.
Yeah, just practice moving the voice, changing it up, opening your mouth, changing where the voice is at. But it's in your nose, a lot of it right now. Just something you've got to learn to get past that.
Let's do the last verse. Just ladies. Okay. Get embarrassing, I can quickly shut down that way. No, just free it up. And that's why, too, I want you to keep practicing this right now that we're going to do. And you can just hum it with your mouth shut right now. Just hum that.
Are we all to do this?
Yeah. Keep on. Roger. That's somewhere that's somewhere between fa and mi, you know, do, re, hear that, re, not la, mi, together before I embarrass you. We're so scared to get our voice out there. Make it that way. I can quick change it if I need to.
Right. If you know it, you're familiar with it. It's not near as scary. Learn what they are, and then you can just belt it out.
That's enough.
Don't be a bunch of sissies. Scared.
All right, you can get back, girl. Go right on. J. gentlemen's ladies, that's good.
We were asked to give an example of someone that overcame a bad situation. And I thought about Joseph in the Bible, how he was mistreated and went through a lot of hard things. And he would just always do his best and just go through it. And eventually he was able to be the pretty high up in the ranks.
There's a story in one of our readers at home that I like a lot. I've read a bunch. And it's about this boy that he was about 14 maybe, and he was in an orphanage. And he had an uncle and an aunt that were in Alaska. And his uncle was a doctor that would fly all over Alaska finding or helping people. And so they sent for him to come live with them because they knew that'd be better than the orphanage. And he was really excited about that. He was going to show them that he wasn't just soft and everything. And so he flew into this town like 200 miles from where his uncle was. And they gave him a choice that he could either wait for a few weeks until his uncle could come pick him up, or he could go with this Indian on the Yukon Trail and with sled dogs. And he decided to go on the Yukon Trail and show him that he could do it, you know. And so the Indian's name was Sam Ketchum that was gone with him. And they were about a quarter of the way there, and the Indian got sick and had to stay somewhere. And so they asked him again, "Don't you want to just stay and wait till your uncle can pick you up?" And he said no, he was going to go alone. And because he knew Hal pretty good now to run the sled. And so he went, and he was about halfway there, and he was really cold and everything. And here he went over a bump, and a stick hit him in the face, and he fell off the sled, and his dogs just kept on going. And the dogs were pretty wild. Some of them would bite him if he'd mess with them too much. And so he'd just, you know, feed them and not pet them or anything. And he thought, you know, he was about to give up and just, but then he, because hypothermia was kind of dulling his senses, and then he thought about how he could tell the lead dog to go left over and over, and it finally come in a circle. And so he yelled at it a few times, and finally it came in the full circle. And then when they were almost there, he tried running after the sled and fell down in the snow. And the big leader dog that didn't like him very much came over and licked him. And from then on, the dog didn't mind him to pet it and stuff. And after a while, he got to his uncle's place. And so, yeah, he overcame the trouble on the trail.
The Midianites were ruling over the Israelites, and they had like a huge army. And they were taking all the Israelites' food and everything. They had to hide it if they wanted to live. But the Israelites didn't have very many. But when God told Gideon that to go and defeat them with only 300 men, he trusted God that he would help them, and he did, and he defeated them.
Jim Elliot and some other missionaries went, took a big risk flying over in a helicopter to help some Indians that were really wicked. So they went over and they landed down there and on the other side of the river, and they were trying to teach them, but then here that first group got killed, so next group came over. It was really hard for them. They didn't really feel like going over, but they were almost to give up the next group. So then finally they went over and got them convinced that God alone.
I thought of Job, how he got everything taken away from him, and he just stayed faithful through it all, and God blessed him with twice as much stuff as he had the first time.
thought about Noah when God told him to build the ark. Probably seemed like an impossible task for one man to build an ark big enough to hold two of every living creature on the earth, but he just had faith in God and trusted him, and it worked itself out, and he built it.
I thought about David and Goliath. When David went to face Goliath, he was, I think they said he was about 9 foot tall, and that's a big old guy if you walk up to him, and he could have been he could have been like everybody else and just wimped out and just ran back home to his sheep, but he decided that he knew that God was going to be with him, and he decided to overcome his fear.
I was thinking about King David, and I really respect his account in the Bible because he went through everything a man could go through, fame, riches, and pursued by his enemy Saul, and failure. He went through everything, and yet his heart was to please God. And I think that should be the testimony of every one of us, you know, just to go through life and to just reverence God like David did. And I don't know, I see tribulation in his life and everything, even in the things that exalted him. You know, he struggled with pride, or, you know, everything was a test. It wasn't just the bad that was a test, it was the good. The good, you know, what men see as good. But, and then I think about Solomon, and this is just amazing, just to see how his son, Solomon, took that same fame and power and was exalted at the end of his life. And he just missed, Solomon missed the blessing of really just treasuring God's will to the very end. But David didn't. He kept to heart. It said of him that he was a man after God's own heart. So let us all strive to be like him.
I thought about the book of Judith, where a city was under siege and by the enemy, and they were running out of water, and a lot of the people were wanting to surrender, and she said, no, they should trust God and wait and ask for his help, and eventually he helped them defeat the enemy. And so they just stuck it out and trusted God, and he came and helped them.
As I remember, what Floyd said was we could either get one that they get an assignment where they overcame or they didn't overcome, and the outcome of that, and I got one where they didn't overcome. This is in Revelation 2. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. When trials and tribulations came, they fell away from their first love.
A widow of Zarephath had only enough flour and oil to make one more cake for her and her son, and then they'd die. And then Elijah came and asked for a cake and some water, and she said they only have enough for one more cake. And Elijah said, just trust in God or whatever, and it'll never run out. And so she gave Elijah the cake and then went and ate and then made some more for her and her son, and they were able to eat and it never ran out.
I was thinking of a woman in history. I don't remember her name exactly, but she was alive during World War II. And she was a Christian, ended up getting put in a concentration camp. And what she did is she started started preaching and singing with the other women. And eventually she got out and helped lead a bunch of other people to Christ. And she went through trials, and she just trusted in God through them and didn't collapse.
Jesus overcame his will to do God's will.
I thought of the example of in the Old Testament where in Fourth Kingdoms where the Syrians were besieging Samaria, and they had completely ran out of food pretty well, and they were eating, you know, any animal that they had left, and it wasn't even raining at all, so it was a drought too, and they couldn't grow anything even, you know, in their gardens or whatever, and so they were just about to give up, and Elisha sent word to the king saying, tomorrow at this time there will be wheat for sale at the gates, however, as much as you ever would want. And the king's main officer he was so far gone, had given up, and he just said, even if it would pour down raining right now, there still wouldn't be wheat. And so the next day, or that night, or early the next morning, God chased out the Syrians, and some lepers that were out there went and discovered it, and that they had fled. And so when they went out there and got all the food they had there in the camp and brought it back, the king put his officer in charge of selling the food. But he never made it. He got trampled over by all the people coming up and up to get food. So that's just, a lot of the people held out, but he was one of them that just completely gave up and wouldn't believe.
Next Sunday, or next Sunday, memorize a poem like I had to do last month. Pick another one, and go ahead and